providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Bensignor. We were really focused on broadly what's going on in these markets, and that is going to continue to be the theme of this weekend show, as I am now chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, look, fact of the matter is these markets are boring. Hardly any market right now is really screaming in either direction. Seems like everything is range bound, some with a little maybe upside bias if you're looking at big cap tech. But really, overall, feels like we're in the middle of summer and everyone forgot what summer feels like because last summer was so wild and crazy. What's your strategy during times like these, Dana, when, look, it doesn't seem like we're going to be getting any major moves in the near term? How do you trade these markets?
Yeah, that's right, Corey. Well, after the move we saw post-election last year into maybe call it March or so, we had a historic rally after that. And following those types of rallies, you see kind of consolidation, the market moves sideways, work off those excesses. So I still think we're seeing that. Combine that with some seasonality, where this is the norm for these summer months for us to go pretty much sideways to maybe a little bit lower into the fall, which is pretty much what we're seeing here in the broader market. Now, there are pockets of strength, which there always are. So one part of our strategy is to continue, as we always do, to try to concentrate our portfolio in those areas that are still performing well, which, as you mentioned, you know, large cap, large growth, technology, healthcare, mostly in those areas and riding those positions higher. At the same time, trying to trade more of the two-way market in terms of the trading range, you know, buy the dips, sell the rips. Don't expect too much. Don't expect breakouts all over the place as we remain range bound. So trying to hit singles for the most part in most of the markets outside of some of those areas I mentioned that are running higher, like large cap growth and tech and healthcare, and we'll ride those higher. But for the most part, try not to overtrade. Trying not to again, anticipate breakouts or breakdowns, more or less buy weakness, sell strength, and try to pick up a few pennies here and there.
So, Dana, you are correct about that rip higher that the market saw at the tail end of last year through about March. You can even make the argument really through a couple weeks ago when these markets did just keep on grinding higher. I'm looking at a monthly chart for the S&P 500, and over the last about 15, 16 months, the market's only been down three of those, and those were marginally down, not even big drops, except for slightly more weakness in September. Do you consider these markets safe? Do you consider them overvalued? What's your overall assessment of the health of these markets?
Well, on the one hand, you have to consider the period that we're coming off that, like I mentioned, that post-election rally. So the sideways market is not unusual for that type of market. On the other hand, there, when you say the market, there are many things you can call the market. Which we normally term the market is the broad market. So the whole wide collection of stocks in the U.S. market, the thousands and thousands of stocks, which represent the broad market. And that, for us, measuring that is the most important factor in measuring the health of the overall market, as we call it. So when you have, you know, positive breadth, a good level of participation among the broad market of stocks, then you have a healthy market, then you have a sustainable bull market. When you have the large cap indices hitting new highs and yet the breadth is poor or weak, and you have a very, very low participation rate among the broader market of stocks, then that's less sustainable. And that's basically what we have right now. so that can last for a while. But it has lasted for almost 2 months now. And up until a couple weeks ago, we were willing to write it off because basically it wasn't reaching extreme alarming levels, but now it is. So starting a couple weeks ago, our risk management antennas really went off and had us rein in some of our exposure in the market, given the breadth divergences, given the weak breath. So we do expect some more reckoning here in the near to intermediate term in the overall market. At the same time, some of these large cap averages can remain buoyant for a time, but typically before you get the next leg up in the market after the kind of breadth divergence that we're seeing now, you have some sort of reckoning across the markets, even those areas that are acting well. Areas that I mentioned before, typically you see those sell off as well for a bit before we bottom and start rallying on a more sustainable basis, because they'll start selling what they can at some point when we get into a sharper correction on top of what has already been sold off, which is, you know, a lot of the small cap stuff and some of the other sectors. But we think still that eventually, once this little reckoning is over with, that we are still in good shape to break out and put at least one more up leg in the bull market before this whole thing is over. So maybe some more sideways to corrective action in the near to intermediate term, followed by another rally, and then maybe that's it.
What does a safety trade look like to you right now, Dana? Or what would you judge as traders getting a bit more defensive? Because we have already seen yields move lower, so more and more people buying bonds. But there hasn't been this fear creeping into the market, even though we're seeing less breadth, unless if you consider these high-flying tech stocks, if they are now one of these almost safety plays for traders.
Yeah, anything that can go down and go down a lot is not a safety trade for us. There's a difference between safety and the prevailing trend. So things that are an uptrend, I wouldn't necessarily call them safety trades or flight to safety. I would call them the relative strength in the market right now, which we want to maintain positions in those areas. But in terms of trying to protect our capital in a really bad market, we're not going to be rushing to those areas of the market that are necessarily just on a relative basis outperforming. We're going to want to actually take true defensive measures, like raising cash, putting on hedges, and that type of thing that is truly defensive in a bad market. So we've been doing some of that. We've lowered our overall exposure substantially over the last few weeks, and looking again, like I said, looking to pick up some pennies and some singles here and there throughout the trading range, and wait for a better opportunity to really load up again, a better risk reward opportunity ahead of a likely another up leg. So as far as some of the safety, one factor that you alluded to, we don't see sentiment really getting fearful yet. It's actually some of the longer term sentiment figures are historically overly bullish, so that's a concern, but that's longer term. In the shorter term, we're not seeing a spike in those fear levels. So if we were, I'd feel more comfortable about buying into this, even with the breadth divergences. But the fact that we're not seeing fear spike, we're not seeing a rush to safety, combine that with the breadth divergences, and I think there's significant amount of risk here in the near term.
Okay, but it sounds like you still have this overall bullish attitude towards these markets, so there could easily be another leg higher even after this historic run. Is there another time in history that you've seen markets like this after a quick crash, or just that upward momentum that they have had, but now the breadth really waning?
It's a little bit unusual in that the breadth up until, you know, a couple months ago, really a month ago, breadth was really outstanding. Almost everything in the market was doing well. So for breadth to go from outstanding to falling off the table is very unusual historically. And it does give us, from what precedents we can find, does give us some comfort that we're probably not at an imminent, like, major top. I guess that's my overall theme, my emphasis in expecting another up leg eventually. The signs don't point to an imminent major top, more so an intermediate top, followed by probably another up leg into a major top. But it is unusual. Like I said, only because breadth was so good, participation was so strong, almost a breadth thrust like after the election, and then just recently has really deteriorated sharply. So I would guess a near term, some near term weakness, corrective action, followed by another attempted up leg before any major top is likely.
Dana, do you see any sectors out there that you consider undervalued that you think are getting ignored by the market? That I know it's not really your strategy to try to pick a bottom or try to find some of these underappreciated sectors, but is there anything out there that's at least floating around in your mind saying, man, there's an opportunity here?
Well, we don't, like you mentioned, we don't look at fundamentals at all. We don't look at valuations at all. So if things are going down, probably going down for a reason. Things are going up, that's when we want to be on top of things. There does come a time when things get so bad, and if they're hitting some key technical levels that are significant, that we think warrant action on the chart, then we will take a stab at it. Typically that's not our MO, as you mentioned, but I would say one area right now, maybe for a short-term bounce, we're looking at the cannabis industry. Some of the cannabis ETFs are hitting some, they've been getting beat up pretty good. They're hitting some potential Fibonacci support, some potential like knife-catching support, at least for a short-term bounce. So we have put some money to work there and today and yesterday, just looking for at least maybe a short-term bounce.
Okay. Hey, Dana, great chatting with you, buddy. I know it's really can be kind of tough to trade some of these markets, especially when they're that slow and boring, but I think that you have a pretty good strategy here of hitting singles, right? This is not the time to get too aggressive in these markets because, well, quite frankly, they're just not going anywhere, or at least with any sort of strong momentum, and that could just be because we are in summer. Dana, as always, thanks for your time, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds great, Corey. You too, bud.